When Aretha first told us what RSPECT meant to her.
What's the word on the street?
Respect.
What does the word respect mean?
Treating people the way you want to be treated.
Well, that's the story of my life. No respect. Tell her no respect.
Anyone want to take a guess at what the one thing is? Yes, that was good. That was pretty close to being on key. We think about our kids. If you were to ask parents, you know, what are some things that you want for your kids? If you would say, man, what do you want more than anything else for your kids? There'd be a handful of things, I believe, that we would probably say. I think we'd say things like, we would want them to enjoy a long life. We'd want them to enjoy positive relationships. We'd want them to enjoy good things. We'd want things in their life to go well for them, to be positive. We'd want some of the things maybe that are difficult in life to avoid having to touch them. And so we come up with this list of things that we go, man, if we could in some way, shape, or form guarantee or at least ensure to the most certainty possible that our kids could enjoy these things, boy, we would do just about anything to make sure that our kids would be able to achieve, receive, enjoy these things in life. What's interesting is that the Bible actually gives us the key to, as parents, help our children enjoy that throughout their lifetime. And it's actually found in a verse that is often quoted to children, sometimes by their parents, in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, this may be a complete like, whoa. But if you've grown up in church at all, you've probably heard at some point in time somebody go, you know, the Bible says children obey your parents. Have you heard that before? Anyone heard that before? Okay, good. Just making sure. You know, listen, children, obey your parents. Now, here's the thing that's often missed, is that children often, if not always, replicate what they see modeled in the home. So if you have to, as a parent, it's kind of like a leader thing, right? If you as a leader have to stand up and go, I'm the leader, listen to me, you're probably not the leader. If you are running around the home going, listen, I'm the parent, you must obey. Let's think about that. Are you modeling it? Are you teaching it? Are you displaying it in your home? Now, I'm not talking about the times when your children, maybe they're really, really young and they're first learning about that, or they get into their teen years and they regress to their terrible twos, whatever the case may be. But we're talking about, you know, on a scale of life. And I want you to see what this Bible verse says, because it's actually quoting from the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy. It's pulling from one of the things called the Ten Commandments. Maybe you've heard of them. It was given by God to Moses for the children of Israel. And it's quoted by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, a book that was written to a group of people that lived in a place called Ephesus, whose name they were the Ephesians. And he wrote this book to them. In Ephesians chapter 6, he begins this dialogue of a family unit and the necessity of importance of everyone playing their part within the family unit. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, he says this, "Children, obey your parents, because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do." He says, listen, it is so important. If you are a child, and all of us at one point in time were a child, obey your parents. Why? Because you are the Lord's. God has commanded you as a child to obey your parent. You go, well, I don't like what they have to say. It doesn't matter. Obey your parents, because you are the Lord's. He goes on to say that it is the right thing to do. Because a child is supposed to obey their parent. And all the parents in unison said, "Woohoo, that's right. It's the right thing to do." Let me just tell you right now. It's the right thing to do. And then he quotes back, he pulls back to the book of Deuteronomy, and he pulls one of the Ten Commandments out. He says this, "Honor your father and your mother." This is the first commandment with a promise. He says, now listen, in the Old Testament, God gave these Ten Commandments, and a couple of the commandments have a promise with them. The very first command that God gave that had a promise attached to it was the command, honor your father and your mother. Honor them. So it says, honor your father and your mother. And then he says, this is what the promise was. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Now that's a promise. The Bible says that God has given a command that has a promise attached to it. If you, as a child, will honor and obey your mom and your dad, then God says two things will happen for you. The first thing is that it will go well for you. Now, you can apply that to whatever situation you want to apply it to, but the bottom line is it will go well for you. Your life will go well for you. And then it goes on to say, not only will it go well for you, but you will enjoy a long life, or at least longer than it would have been without that. And so the promise with that command is that it will go well for you and you will enjoy a long life. And those are two of the most important things that as parents we want for our kids, isn't it? I mean, we want our kids to enjoy a long life. We want it to go well for them. We want them to have the experiences that are positive and encouraging, uplifting and challenging, but none of the ones that are negative and degrading and discouraging and tear them apart and make them feel ways that we don't want them. We want these things for them. So mom and dad, here's the thing. If you can teach your children to honor and obey you, you are guaranteeing them the best possible outcome for their life. Now, I know parents are like, well, I want Johnny to have a freedom of his spirit. Crush the spirit like the bug. Now, you want kids to have that spirit, right? You want them to have that enthusiasm, that energy, that passion, but you have to guide it. That's your responsibility as a parent. If you take those two words, honor and obey, they really, when you combine them together, because you can obey someone without honoring them, can you not? You go, well, I think so. Think about Friday at work. When your boss told you to do something and you obeyed him or her, but in your heart, you were not honoring him or her. Right? You can obey without honoring. And you can honor without obeying. Because you can go, oh, you're the greatest thing in the world, and you're wonderful, and you're awesome, and fantastic. Hey, here's flowers. Here's candy. Here's this. Here's that. You're the greatest, whatever. And they ask you to do something. Oh, I just can't do that today. So you can do one without the other. But when you put the two together, I come to the word respect. Because we honor and we obey that which we respect and those who we respect. Think about it. If you think about the people in your life that you respect, you are quick to give them honor and you are quick to follow through on the instructions that they give you because they have earned your respect. And by the way, respect is earned. It cannot be taken. You cannot force someone to respect. You can only earn that respect. So here's what I want to do. I want to just share this with you because I think this is so important. If your children do not learn to respect you and your spouse, you are setting them up for a lifetime of failure. Because here's the big idea. If your children don't respect you, they won't respect anyone. If your children don't respect you, they won't respect anyone. Now, I want you to pause for a second and think about the adults around you who have never learned respect and look at their lives. They always are wondering why they can't hold a job. I don't understand. I mean, I just told him what I thought about how he was managing the company. You see, respect is something that is so important in our world, and it will always be important in our world, no matter how little press, publicity, or excitement or enthusiasm is there, because the people who give respect get respect. The people who show respect receive respect. And so if you want to be a person who is respected, you have to learn how to respect others. And moms and dads, if you can teach your children how to respect you, their primary authority on this planet, then as they get older, and they, by the way, they see all your hairs and warts. Think about it. If they can respect you with all the stuff that they see, because they see you, I mean, they see you. Let's just put it, they just see you in every way, right? If they can respect you because of how you have parented them, they can respect just about anybody. And if they do that, then they can honor and they can obey every authority in their life, which will make it go well for them. And they will enjoy a successful life. You see, sometimes, and we do, we all do it, we all make parenting more difficult than it really is, right? I mean, have you ever gone to the bookstore looking for a book on parenting? Oh, my word. Some of the books are like this big, and it's clinical title and all these different things. And then, you know, there's the encyclopedia on parenting. Well, that's interesting. You can look up every problem that your child ever will have and get freaked out by it. Because if Johnny looks like that, you know, and there's parenting. Everybody's got advice. You know, here's the thing. The Bible boils it down. And sometimes we say, oh, the Bible is so complicated. The reality is that if we understand and follow the Bible, life becomes that much more simpler. If as a parent you can teach your child how to obey and honor you, therefore respect you, then you have set them up for a lifetime of experiencing success. It's the one thing that as a parent you absolutely must do for your child. And if you don't do it, you are setting them up for failure after failure after failure after failure. You go, well, my kid's already outside of the home. It's never too late. We talked about that last week. You just need to work a little harder on it. You may need to get a little bit more creative about how you teach that. But it's absolutely essential. So what I want to do is I want to give you three things that you can do. The first thing is you must teach it in your home. You must teach it in your home. If you want your children to learn respect, you must teach it. You cannot expect them to learn it, because it's not a natural thing. Have you ever naturally wanted to obey something? You ever naturally gotten into your car, got on 65 in one of the areas where there's construction, and it says construction zone is active, 40 miles an hour when flashing, and it's flashing, and you immediately went, oh, good, because I wanted to go 40 miles an hour. It doesn't happen, does it? In fact, the reality is the Bible says that because of sin, we all have a natural desire to disobey and dishonor. This is something that we have to teach. You have to verbalize it. You have to talk about it. You have to sit them down at the kitchen counter, at the couch, on their bedside, and talk about the necessity of honor and obeying, the necessity of respect for those in authority. You have to teach it in your home. In fact, God says this, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7, in the midst of the commandments that he has given, one of which is honor your father and mother so that you can receive the promise that will go well with you and enjoy a long life. He says this, and these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. In other words, listen, I'm giving them to you as your God. I want you to put them inside of who you are. They must be an integral part of who you are. They're not your religion. They're not the do's and don'ts. They are a part of you. See, sometimes we teach the Ten Commandments as a list of things that we should do and don't do. God doesn't say that. God says they are to be a part of your nature and your character. They should be engrafted into who you are. And as a parent, he goes on, you shall teach them, and what's that word? Diligently. Now, if you don't know what diligently means, get out your smartphone, go to definition or dictionary, Merriam-Webster, whatever.com, and look it up. It means consistent, without stopping, ongoing, day after day after day. You go, really? I mean, that sounds so tedious. How often do you tell your kids to pick up their underwear out of the bathroom? We can tell them to pick up their underwear and their socks every single day, but we cannot remind them that it's a command of God to honor and obey? Well, that's just, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. He says three things. He said, listen, you need to have planned times of teaching. Now, I know all the kids are like, oh, man, Saturday nights, here we come. It's dad teaching time. No, that's not. No. But you should have a plan in your mind, and you and your spouse should have it worked out where you go, you know what? We want our kids to learn these things. And we want to make sure that we teach them these things. Whether it be sitting down and going, hey, let's at the dinner table, let's talk about what it means to X, Y, or Z. Let's bring this up. This passage of Scripture says this. What do you guys think about that? It's planned. It's intentional. But then he goes on to say, as you walk along the road, that's unplanned moments. You ever heard that? This is a teaching moment. You ever heard that? You ever said that as a parent? No, this is a teaching. I have. Oh, this is a teaching moment. And usually that teaching moment comes because somebody else is being an idiot, right? This is a teaching moment. Do you see that? If you ever do that. I tell my girls all the time, if you ever bring a guy home that looks like that, pray for his soul because it won't be there much longer. I'm just saying. It's teaching moments. As a parent, you have to seize on those things because they don't come by every day. And she says, listen, as you're walking along the road and something happens, teach them. Say, listen, you're walking through Walmart and you see some four-year-old pitching a fit, throwing themselves on the ground. You go, let me, teaching moment here. Hang on a second. Mom, what's your son's name? No, don't do that. But teach your kids in those moments that God brings. Remember, we talked about it last week. Don't let the past hinder you from being able to seize the opportunities of today and teach those moments. But then he goes on to say that it should be the first thing you teach in the morning and the last thing you teach at night. He says, when you lay down at night and when you get up in the morning, these things should be what you're teaching constantly. If you are not teaching this in your home, you're expecting it to happen. It won't. That is like hoping that your child will potty train themselves. It doesn't work. Ask us. It won't work. Teach it in your home. The second thing, and this may be where we stop chuckling so much, model it in your life. Model it in your life. Remember, we talked about this, the fact if you want to have respect, you must give respect. And I'm just going to throw this out there. This is free. When your children get into the teenage years, there are things that just happen. I mean, they're trying to grow up, and you're trying to, you know, continue to learn how to be a parent. Oh, there's natural conflict there. But if there is so much tension because of willful disobedience, willful disrespect, can I tell you that you can probably trace that back to what they watched you do when they were younger? Because they're trying to learn how to be a grown-up, and they're emulating the grown-ups that they see most readily available in front of them. Look at this. Romans chapter 13, verses 1, and then we're going to jump down to verses 5 through 7. Oh, by the way, if you're a teenager, don't use that excuse. That's lame. Grow up. Okay, Romans 13. But mom, no. Everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So let's really, really quickly, let's just run this right underneath. You go, well, yeah, but this person who's in authority, they don't handle things right. It doesn't matter. Every person in authority has been placed there by God. Does it say that? Can we agree that it says that? Can we also agree that the Bible is infallible, it is true, it is 100%. Therefore, every authority that is in authority has been placed there by God. But I don't like him, but he's a communist, but he hates God. But he has every authority been placed there by God? Answer, at the writing of this, Paul was writing it to a group of people who lived in Rome, who were under the rule of a guy named Nero. He said, every authority has been placed there by God. There is no excuse for us not to submit to the authorities over us, because all authority ultimately leads back to God. Therefore, to not submit to any authority is to not submit to God's authority. So you must submit to them not only to avoid punishment, which we all like, but also to keep a clear conscience. Pay your taxes too. Isn't that nice how the Bible just throws that right in there? Pay your taxes too. For these same reasons, for government workers need to be paid. They are serving God. Are you serious? Did the Bible just say that government workers are serving God? Did it just say this? Seriously? This must be the new pagan translation or something. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes. He says it twice. And government fees. See, now even if you say, well, yeah, taxes, but what about fees? Says it right there. Government fees to those who collect them, and give respect and honor to those who are in authority. If they do what you want them to do. If they do what they said they were going to do before they were in office. If they obey what they're supposed to obey. Does it say any of that? Is there any if-then statements at all whatsoever in this passage? Obey the authorities. So here's the question I have. What are you modeling in your home? How do you talk about your boss in your home? How do you talk about him? Do you have special pet names for him or her? How do you talk about him in your home? How do you talk about our government in your home? I'm not talking about disagreeing in principle. I'm not talking about disagreeing with policies. I'm talking about the people who are in authority. How do you talk about them? How do you talk about the police when you're driving down the road and you see one sneakily hiding behind a bush? How do you talk about them? How do you talk about your husband when he's not around? How do you talk about your wife when she's not around? And I know I'm getting really unfair here, but how do you talk about your parents in your home? I'm married now. I am out from underneath the authority of my parents. Yes? Does it say in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3, children, obey, respect, and honor your parents until you're married? Now, that obey part kind of slides because now you're married. The two of you have become one. You are now, if you're a wife, under your husband's authority. Husband, you are now underneath God's authority. But does it say that you can dishonor, disrespect, undermine, talk poorly about your parents or your spouse's parents in front of your children? You see, here's the thing that's difficult. that we have to realize is that our kids are watching us all the time. And if you do not model the behavior that you expect from them, then do not expect them to have a different behavior than you do. You want your children to honor you in their home once they're outside of your home? How do you honor your parents? Now, I'm not talking about teasing and just goofing around. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about legitimate character things that you don't like about people. That you are willing to quickly tear people down and throw them under the bus and disrespect them. There is a line that if you cross, you are literally teaching your children. And not only are you teaching your children, you are giving your children permission to do it to you. And therefore, you're setting them up for a lifetime of difficulty. It always breaks my heart, and I don't understand it. I see moms and dads who are unwilling to submit to anyone's authority. They bash everyone that they can think of that's in authority. They don't just disagree. They bash. They want to tear them down. I mean, Facebook, anytime, you know, oh, I'm pretty sure, and I'm going to step on some toes right now, so just take a deep breath, ready? I'm pretty sure Obama is Satan. Look, if you take his first name and his last name and you type it all out, it comes to 666. Respect and honor. I'm pretty sure that doesn't fall underneath those two categories. Those in governing authority over you. You go, but there is no but in the Bible. Therefore, there shouldn't be a but in your life. Can we get rid of the buts? Is it fun? Does anyone go, yay? No, it's not fun. Is it worth it for your children and their life to go well and enjoy a long life for you to do what God's called you to do? That's up to you to answer. For me, the answer is yes. Model it in your life. And finally, require it in their behavior. Require it in their behavior. I remember several years ago, it's about 15 years ago, there's a young kid who, for some reason, felt that he could constantly interject himself into any conversation. It was like 11 years old. He thought he was an adult. His parents treated him like an adult. And he would constantly interject himself into every and any conversation that he could possibly do so. Now, I'm just going to tell you, that's disrespectful. Can we all agree to that? That's rude. I mean, I'm like, child, you are hand height. I'm just saying. And just think about it. And what was interesting is that the parents did not just allow it. They encouraged it. We'll call him Johnny. We want Johnny to experience the fullness of what it means to be an adult. Great, when he's 21, that's wonderful. When he's 11, no. He needs to grow up some first. You see, here's the thing, moms and dads. You have a responsibility to teach your children. We've already talked about that. But there is a difference between teaching your children and then requiring them to adhere to it. I know a lot of parents that teach and go, I don't understand. I teach them. I read the Bible to them. I sing songs to them. I show them flow charts and I show them flannel boards. And I mean, you should see our home. I just teach them and teach them and teach them. And yet they just mouthed off to an adult who asked them to stop doing something. And you said, well, you know, you're not their parent. I may not be their parent, but if an adult says to you, would you please stop running so you won't knock over the little old lady who's trying to get out to her car with the walker? Then that should be responded to with appropriateness. Am I wrong? Am I crazy out on a limb on this one here? You see, here's the thing. Moms and dads, we have a responsibility to hold our children accountable for the things that we've taught them. And you're the only one that can do it. You're the only one that sees them. Do not let little Johnny or Sally, when you tell them, go clean your room, to mouth off to you. Someone's talking back to me. I think it may be me. I'm not sure. So, what's going on there? Do not allow them to mouth off to you. Now, are they going to? Yes, they're going to. If you have little children that are just learning to talk and you are surprised and shocked that they mouth off, don't be, because it'll just get better and more creative as they get older. But don't allow it to continue. Do not engage them. Go, excuse me? Would you like to try that again? Because you'll get one more opportunity, and then it's going to happen. And remember, last week we talked about the fact spanking is good, right? But we teach, and we explain why, and we understand it's not in anger. It's done to correct and discipline. Why? Because you want them to have a long life, and you want it to go well for them. You go, I just don't know. It's so hard. Promises often have a positive and a negative. There's a negative to this promise that God gives. You see, moms and dads, if you don't teach your children this, the opposite side of this promise becomes reality. Deuteronomy chapter 27, the first part of verse 16, cursed is anyone who dishonors their father or mother. Cursed. Not, you're going to have a rough day. You know what? You may have a difficult time restoring that relationship as you get older. No, cursed. Proverbs 20, verse 20. If you insult your father or mother, your light will be snuffed out in total darkness. That's the opposite of it may go well with you and you may live a long life, is it not? You see, God says, here's the deal. I'm giving you, as children, a command with a promise. And parents, you are the ones that are supposed to teach this and model it and require it in their behavior. If, however, you fail to do that, the negative side of this promise is going to kick in. And the world is going to chew your child up, and it's going to spit it out the other end. Because they never learned how to respect you. They never learned how to honor and obey you. So therefore, they won't honor or obey anybody. And for the rest of their life, they will wonder why it's not going well for them. And it all comes back to because you, as a parent, were too uncomfortable, too busy, too worried about what other people might think, or too concerned about hurting your child's feelings to teach them the one most important thing that they could ever learn. Now, if you are an adult of a parent who didn't teach this, you now bear the responsibility to learn it and then teach it to your children. You go, how do I do that? It begins by learning the fact that as a parent, you now need to teach it and model it and require it in your kids. And let me tell you something. The greatest learning tool that you will ever experience is teaching something to your kids, because they'll hold you accountable to the same truth that you teach them. Father God, We thank you. We thank you for how you challenge us in your word. Sometimes we laugh and enjoy the crazy things that we do and the way we think, and sometimes the word of God is so powerful. Your word tells us that it's like a surgeon's knife. It can cut right to the heart of the matter. It can cut between the things that we think are, those are not really big issues, and put them out in the open to where we realize that they are actually the heart of the issue. Father, for every mom and every dad that's here today, I pray that you would just absolutely pound this truth into our hearts. That if we do not teach, model, and require this in our children, we are setting them up for a lifetime of difficulty. Father, help us to do whatever is necessary to teach and model and require it, because we love our kids. And Father, the mistakes that we make, we usually make it out of love because we think that's what's best. Help us to not fall prey to the silly, stupid ideas of the world. Help us to embrace the truth that respect, honor, obedience are so important. The things that we learn so that we can live a life and live it well and successful before you. For every adult here, God, maybe they're struggling with these things because they were never taught them. And because they were never taught them, they haven't been teaching them to their children. Father, I pray in this moment that in our hearts we would just bow before you in humble surrender and say, God, I am so sorry. I need to ask forgiveness. I have not been submissive. I have not been putting myself underneath those authorities and honoring and respecting them. I've been degrading them. I've been making fun of them. I've been chastising them. I've been calling them names. I've been undermining their authority. And God, I realize that today I'm modeling and teaching that for my kids. Help me, God. Give me the strength to overcome that. Give me the ability to teach my kids so they can be free. Father, we pray that. And we know that it's true. We know that you will, and we know that your desire is to do that very thing in each and every one of us. And so we pray this in the life-giving, ever-altering our hearts and minds name of Jesus Christ. Amen.